Sometimes storms can get so rough that a lot of damage is done in a short period of time. And then on other days, it feels like it's simply too hot to do anything. What is going on, and are we going to see more of such weather extremes in Singapore? I'm Chanyu Wim, and this is Ng Jun Chi. She's an expert with Singapore's Met Service. And today, we're answering your questions about the weather. There were these really strong winds and heavy rains in mid-September. That was a Sumatra squall, right? So what's a squall?
A squall is a line of organized thunderstorms that extends over hundreds of kilometers. In Singapore's context, majority of these squalls form over Sumatra Island or the Strait of Malacca, move eastwards towards Singapore, and in doing so bring heavy rain and gusty winds. We call these Sumatra squalls.
How are squalls formed?
We still do not fully understand how Sumatra squalls are formed, but they could be due to number one, daytime heating of land over Sumatra, number two, convergence of land breezes over the Strait of Malacca at night, and number three, the large-scale convergence of winds over Singapore and the surrounding region. Some meteorologists also believe terrain over Sumatra plays a role. Once these storms form, vertical wind shear, which is a change in wind speed or direction with height in the atmosphere, helps the storms to line up.
Wind speeds exceeded 80 kilometers per hour in some areas. How does this compare to strong winds in the past that have happened in Singapore?
Well, due to interactions between the cold air within the squall and the warmer air ahead, when the cold air mixes with the warmer air ahead, temperature and density differences can further strengthen these winds, so we get very strong gusty surface winds with Sumatra squalls. So in general, the winds can be about 40 to 80 kilometers per hour, although brief increases of up to 104 kilometers per hour have been recorded about 10 years ago.
And are squalls like this normal this time of year?
Well, Sumatra squalls can occur all year round, although they are more common between the months of April and November. This coincides with the southwest monsoon and intermonsoon periods. On average, we experience about 45 squalls a year, with about 6 to 7 squalls each month during the southwest and intermonsoons.
So if there have been so many squalls, or if there are so many squalls, why is it we don't experience all of them with such intensity?
Well, there are several factors. So firstly, that particular squall arrived in Singapore in the evening while when people were out and about. Most of the time, the squalls tend to arrive overnight or in the early hours of the morning where most people are actually at home. Most of the time, the winds associated with Sumatra squalls are not as strong, but there are occasions where the winds can be particularly strong, such as the one on the 17th of September.
Can squalls be detected in advance so that the public can be given some early warning?
Yes, the development of squalls can generally be tracked on radar a few hours in advance, although it is difficult to predict the intensity and severity of the winds. MSS issues heavy rain warnings through the NEA and MSS website, as well as the MyENV app. On the 17th of September, we had issued a warning for thundery showers with gusty winds about 30 minutes before the squall reached the western parts of Singapore. While there are technological limitations in forecasting the severity of squalls in advance, we will continue to refine our public warnings as forecasting technologies improve.
Will squalls like this get worse in the future because of climate change? Will they?
Well, that's an interesting question. The answer's not that straightforward. Sumatra squalls are complex weather systems. Their structure, formation, and movements are all areas of ongoing research. What we do know, however, is that local and regional factors, such as local topography, wind and weather patterns, large-scale tropical disturbances, all the way down to sea surface temperatures, influence their formation. Given these interactions, the impact of climate change on the intensity and severity of these squalls remains uncertain. With improvements in forecasting capabilities as well as greater availability of weather observations in the region, it is hoped that Sumatra squalls will be better understood.
So if it's not stormy and windy in Singapore, it's the complete opposite. We did a quick online poll and most of you think that it's been way too hot in Singapore lately. So Jun Chi, why is it getting hotter?
Well, Singapore's annual mean temperature rose by about 0.24 degrees Celsius per decade over the last 40 years. This long-term warming trend is due to global climate change and local urbanization.
And what about the El Nino effect? Does it come into play at all?
During the El Nino years, we tend to experience warmer and drier conditions, while La Nina tends to increase the rainfall amount received in Singapore. The El Nino and La Nina are both part of the natural climate fluctuations associated with the El Nino sudden oscillation. But in general, on average, the temperatures have been increasing over time.
Does this mean we're going to see more frequent and longer dry spells?
Based on Singapore's third National Climate Change Study, V3, the dry months of June through September are projected to become drier, although this is yet to be observed, possibly due to the large variability associated with the El Nino sudden oscillation. The study also projects more frequent and longer dry spells over Singapore by 2100 under the high greenhouse gas emissions scenario.
Are we going to see more erratic, rainy and hot weather extremes in Singapore in the coming years? Is this going to be the new normal?
Well, rainfall in the tropics is highly variable. While there is no significant trend over the last 43 years in maximum rainfall intensities over Singapore, the high variability in rainfall intensities is due to a combination of factors such as natural climate variability, climate change, as well as local effects like urbanization. Based on our latest National Climate Change Study, we project increase in extreme daily rainfall across all seasons and under all emissions scenarios by 2100.
And that's it for today's episode. I hope we've answered some of your questions. Remember to subscribe and follow us, and I'll see you in the next episode.